Welcome to Vegas Dave's Dive.
Hello, everybody. Vegas Dave here. Thank you for joining me here on Vegas Dave's Dime. Today I'm going to combine three stories into one, kind of under a quarterback theme. I want to talk about Dante Culpepper's retirement, the Jake Locker call, and of course Tom Brady going down. I have to touch on for just a minute. But to start with Dante Culpepper retiring, I obviously don't know what's going through his head, so I can't say it's a right or a wrong decision per se, but I was sad to see him retire, and from a completely outside perspective, without knowing all of the facts of what's going on in his head or what's going on in his life, I don't know that I would have made the decision he made, simply because his knee seems to be better. He seemed to have been in decent playing shape as a Raider last year, and I don't think there's anything wrong with being a third-string quarterback in the NFL and making money and being there just in case there are some injuries. From what I understand, the main reason he didn't sign anywhere was because he didn't get any guarantees from any of the coaches in the league that he would have a legitimate shot at competing for and potentially winning the starting position. He was told that he would be a third stringer or a second stringer, and unless there was a big injury, he wasn't a legitimate threat to take the starting job. But I think he took that too literally, because yes, it's true, if a team has a quarterback in place and that's going to be their quarterback, that's the way it is, or so it seems. If that quarterback struggles and the fans are getting restless and booing him off the field, that's one thing. If an injury occurs, that's another thing. And you know what? A coach can say, we're not going to give you a shot at the starting job, but if you blow him away at practice and your arm strength looks good and your awareness looks good and you're making all the right decisions and the quarterback that the coach has out there is not doing any of the above things, you just might get a shot. And if you don't get a shot, you're getting paid $500,000 a year to just watch football on the sidelines. And I understand if you've got pride and you believe you should be a starter, that might be a difficult concept to swallow. But at 31 years old, I still think Dante Culpepper had enough left in the tank that he could have accepted a backup role and collected this paycheck and tried to fight for a position. And you look around and some of the teams that he may have considered going to certainly may in fact need him. Jeff Garcia looks like he might be slightly injured. Vince Young is a huge question mark in Tennessee. Tom Brady went down. Not that he would have taken the job from David Castle, but a lot of teams are only running with two quarterbacks too. So I really find it hard to believe that he couldn't find a spot somewhere, and I think it's a shame that his pride got the best of him and he left the game. Because whether you think he was a great quarterback or you think he was a fluke and he just had a couple of fluke seasons with Minnesota, regardless of what you think, the guy had talent, and I think this is a decision he may question in the next couple years. And if he gets out of game shape, it won't be something that he'll be able to take back. Now, moving on to the Jake Locker call. This has been one of the most debated and heavily discussed things in college football so far this year. If you didn't see it, which is virtually impossible, Jake Locker scored a touchdown against BYU and threw the ball behind his head and ran to his teammates to celebrate, and the referees called a penalty for excessive celebration, and when Washington went to kick the extra point, they had it blocked, and the game ended 28-27, mainly because of a 15-yard penalty that made the extra point kick a lot more difficult and eventually led to Washington losing the game. Now, I think everybody across the board agrees that the fact that Washington lost this game on this call is really a shame. He wasn't rubbing it in on BYU. He wasn't being too excessive. He was simply getting rid of the ball so he could go celebrate with his teammates. But what I don't think is fair is the fact that the referees are taking a ton of criticism. I've read and heard all over the place that the referees should not have made this call, and that the referees are taking the fun out of the game, and the referees this, and the referees that. I don't blame the referees at all for making this call. I'll read you the rule straight out of the book. Quote, after a score or any other play, the player in possession immediately must return the ball to an official or leave it near the dead ball spot. This prohibits A, kicking, throwing, spinning, or carrying the ball any distance that requires an official to retrieve it, which Locker did. He threw it behind himself, which was somewhere where the officials had to go retrieve it. B, spiking the ball to the ground. Again, it was behind his back, but he did spike the ball to the ground. C, throwing the ball high into the air. Again, he did. D, any other unsportsmanlike act or actions that delay the game, which I don't think really applies here. But any one of those things warrant a call. And again, in the book, you heard the way I just read it, it doesn't say if the referee believes it is intended to be unsportsmanlike, you should make the call. It is in the book. If you spike the ball, throw the ball in the air, or don't put it down next to the dead ball spot, if you throw it somewhere where the official has to retrieve it, it's a penalty. And that's how it's written in the rule book. Should this rule be changed? Absolutely, 110% it should be changed. I hate this rule. I think it's stupid. But you cannot blame the referees for making this call. I think it would be irresponsible for them not to have made this call. It wouldn't be fair to BYU. Because if this call is made in a less critical situation, I don't think people are getting in a tizzy about it at all, because it was the right call. But because it ended the game, everybody's complaining about the call. And I agree, the rule is garbage. But I don't think the referees are to blame here. Now lastly, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on Tom Brady, just because it's everywhere, and it's going to be everywhere for the rest of the season, so you don't need me spending an entire show, or even half of a show, talking about what a big loss this is to New England, or how this breaks the AFC and the AFC East wide open. I don't need to tell you this, because not only could you have figured it out for yourself, but you've heard it a billion times in writing, video, radio, everything, if you're a sports fan. I don't need to tell you all that. But it really is amazing, isn't it? How much a single player has an effect on an entire league, both on and off the field? I mean, on the field, this is one less playoff spot that's absolutely locked up. And I'm not saying the Patriots can't make the playoffs, but now all of a sudden they're not a guarantee to make the playoffs. So the entire AFC has to be uplifted because there's one more spot up for grabs. On individual schedules, you take a look at your schedule, and games you were playing against New England were games that you were circling as losses or extremely key games, and now all of a sudden those games are winnable. Teams like Pittsburgh and San Diego that were trying to figure out how they were going to get through both the Colts and the Patriots have one less big beast of a team to worry about. And off the field, fantasy football, it may not be important to some people, but it's important enough nowadays that they list fantasy stats and discuss fantasy to no end on ESPN and whatnot. How big of a deal is this to so many fantasy leagues? And I don't even have to bring up Las Vegas. How many people bet the Patriots to win the Super Bowl? How many people bet the Cowboys, or the Steelers, or the Colts to win the Super Bowl, and their odds just got that much better? I mean, so much circling around one player. I can't think of any other sport or any other player where there's been such an impact with a single injury. It's just fascinating, it's mind-boggling, and it's really going to be interesting to see how the season shakes out. But I wish Tom a speedy recovery. As much as I hate him on the field, I would never actually wish injury upon anybody. Hopefully he will be back next season, and hopefully by then the Raiders are competitive and they can sack him 11 times to get back at him for that infamous tuck rule so many years ago. I guess on that note, I'll wrap things up. As always, you can email me at vegasdavesdime@gmail.com or just leave a comment here on the page. Let me know what you think about this or anything else. Thank you for listening. That's my dime, because 2 cents just isn't enough.